song says, your name be praised. The name Jesus literally means Jehovah has become salvation. Aren't you glad you know the name? The revealed name, the name that is above every name, the name that brings salvation, the name that brings healing, the name that brings deliverance. I'm thankful I know the name. I'm not ashamed of the name. I'm not ashamed to lift my voice and shout the name of Jesus. It's the only name worthy to be shouted. It's the only name worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Oh, why don't we praise the name of Jesus a little bit? Why don't we lift our voice and praise unto Him? Hallelujah, Jesus. We praise your name, Jesus. Thank you, 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 Jesus. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, and you'd be so kind. Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 27. Matthew chapter number 27, begin reading in verse number 33. Feels good to be in the house of the Lord, amen? The song we sing around here, no place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be than here in your love. Ah, the love of Jesus, the peace, the mercy, the grace of Jesus. There is no feeling, there is no comfort, there's no assurance like what you find in the presence of God. Ah, thank you, Jesus. I feel that we just need to take a moment and just thank the Lord. Despite our faults, despite our failures, that He still visits us, that His power and presence is here to move, to help, to strengthen, to upgird. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. How we love you, Jesus. How we praise you, Jesus. How we thank you for what you did for us. How you made a way for us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Matthew chapter number 27. Begin reading in verse number 33. When they were coming to a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink mingled with gall, and when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. They crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. Sitting down, they watched him there. Set up over his head, his accusation written, this is Jesus, the King of the Jews. And there were two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand, the other on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads. We might say shaking their heads. And saying, listen to what those that reviled him, those that walked by, those that the Bible says reviled him, shaking their heads. Listen to what they said. Verse number 40, and saying, thou that destroyest the temple, buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. Save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Come down from the cross. It wasn't just the common folks. It just wasn't those that were spectating. It wasn't just the soldiers. The Bible says, likewise also the chief priest, mocking him with the scribes and the elders, the religious leaders of that day. This is what they said. This is what they said mockingly as they viewed the scene, as they looked upon Jesus. He saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he be king of Israel, let him come down from the cross, and we will believe him. If he really is the king of Israel, if he be the king of Israel, if he is who he says he is, then let him come down from the cross, and
we will believe him.
I want to draw your attention to two of the verses in our hearing. Verse number 40 says, "The people said, Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." Verse number 42, scribes, elders, and the chief priests say, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him come down from the cross, and we will believe him." Everybody say, "Come down from the cross." With the help of the Lord, this is what I want to preach to you this morning. Don't come down from the cross. Don't come down from the cross. Can we lift our hands? Such a sweet presence of the Lord in this place. I feel the power of preaching Calvary here this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your word, God. Thank you for the power of your presence that we feel in this place. Lord, I pray that you would open the heart and the mind to receive your word, God, that we would see within the story, within, God, the scene displayed, God, in your holy scriptures. We would understand there's a principle here, there's a precept here that we should apply to our own lives, that we should understand, that we should exemplify, God, for you are our example. You are the one we should pattern our lives after. Lord, we love you, we praise you, we thank you, God. We're so thankful that you chose to stay there. We're so thankful that you chose to remain on the cross. God, help us, Lord, to see ourselves in this story. Help us, God, that we would not come down from the cross. In your name that is above every name, in the only saving name of Jesus Christ, we ask it and believe it to be done. And everybody said amen. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. Don't come down from the cross. Choosing to avoid pain and suffering, to opt for the easier route, to choose the road more traveled and the broad way to which many already belong, on the surface seems like the better choice. To save yourself the trouble, to alleviate the persecution, to somehow dial back the pressure and place yourself out of harm's way, that seems like the more logical choice. It is within our human nature to avoid suffering. It is within our makeup to steer clear of those things which cause conflict, those things which cause hurt and pain, and those things which bring trouble. It is within our own makeup that we seek the path of least resistance. We seek a way that is easier. We seek something that is less stressful and less pressure and less persecutory, if you will. We seek that way. However, is it not the path of least resistance? Is it not a path that is paved with selfishness? If for every action there is an equal and opposite reaction, then if my actions make it easier on me, then does it then become harder on someone else? Might I be candid enough to call out what we all contemplate from time to time? I don't care how long you've been serving God. I don't care if you're new to this or you've been serving God for a while. In our humanity, in our carnality, in our mind, might I be candid enough to say that we all contemplate from time to time, there must be an easier way. This being a Christian stuff causes me some uncomfortability. This denying myself and taking up my cross stuff is not all that conducive to exploiting the creature comforts of life. This being upon this road last traveled, this walking the straight and narrow, this abiding by the principles and precepts of the Word of God, it brings about persecution. It brings about things that are not pleasurable. Hey, you with the blood and sweat stinging your eyes, you with your hands held fast and feet fettered, you that have been stripped and striped, you who are doing so, serving a higher purpose, why remain there? Why continue to keep yourself in a place of ridicule? Why allow the torment to continue? Come down from the cross.
You that said you could destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days. Now your hands are held fast by nails to a beam. Surely you're saying that and you're asserting that is absolutely absurd. You can't do that. You can't even come down from the cross. Might I say this? He could have come down. Jesus could have called angels to come and fight and destroy his detractors. But the Bible says he didn't even take the drink to deaden and dull the pain. When they offered him, the Bible says, vinegar mixed with gall in that day and age. It was, if you will, a pain reliever. It was something that would help the pain to subside. But the Bible says that when he tasted it, they put it to his lips and he realized what it was that they were trying to give him, something to deaden and dull the pain, something to make it a little less strenuous, something to ease the torment. But for a moment, when the Bible says that when he tasted it, he refused to drink it. Common custom that day is those that hung upon the cross. It was custom that they would take a small cup or a sponge that they had dipped in vinegar and gall, something that had properties in it that would cause a numbing, something that was in that day and age, and in ancient times it was somewhat of a pain reliever. It was common custom that they would offer this as a sign of mercy, as a show of humanity. They would offer it even to those, even to the hardest of criminals. They would offered to them on the cross because the pain was so severe, the torment, what they were enduring, what they were going through. The Roman executioners were experts at taking the body to the brink of death and leaving it hanging there. So in a sign and a show of mercy, the Bible lets us know that they offered this King of the Jews, they offered this man Christ Jesus, the same thing that they had offered countless others. They offered him this vinegar mixed with gall, and the Bible says that when he tasted it, he refused to drink it. He could have come down from the cross. He could have called down angels from heaven and destroyed those who were mocking and ridiculing. He could have at any moment decided, okay, this is enough. I'm done. I've taken enough pain. I've taken enough ridicule. I've taken enough torment. He could, at any point in time, he could have come down from the cross. But he stayed. He remained, but he stayed there on the cross. You see, he had the power to pull free and pummel his persecutors. He had the power to take himself out of it. But the Bible says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured shame. He endured the torment. He had all power in heaven and earth, but do not miss this point. He said it, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. He had the power to pull himself from the cross. But there on that day, some of the greatest power ever exhibited in all the world was the power of restraint as he stayed upon the cross. Oh, we got to get that. We got to put ourselves there. If in our mind's eye we could understand, he had all power in heaven and earth, and at any point in time he could have pulled himself from the cross. But some of the greatest power ever displayed was displayed that day when he restrained himself and stayed pressed to the beam and stayed upon the cross. See, some of the greatest power a Holy Ghost-filled believer can exhibit is the power of restraint. The power of staying in the persecution. The power of staying in the problem. The power of staying in that which is pummeling me. That which is hurting me. That which is causing me pain. That which is causing me to consider. That which is causing me to contemplate. If you think for a moment that the man Christ Jesus didn't contemplate. If you think for a moment that in his humanity he didn't have in his mind the thought, oh, I can keep myself from any more of this. I can stop myself at any moment. Yet He revealed, yet he showed there upon the cross some of the greatest power in all the world as he remained there. You see, you and I as Holy Ghost filled believers, you and I that have the same Spirit of Christ in us, we need to be reminded that while we go through this life and while we endure persecution, some of the greatest power we can exhibit is to stay upon the cross, is not to come down from the cross, is to remain where the ridicule is to remain where the persecution is to remain in this way that is sometimes rough, it is to remain in this way where I'm pierced through with many sorrows. It is to remain. See, we need to be reminded that while Jesus was hurting in the natural, he was healing you and I in the spiritual. While he hung there suspended between heaven and earth, and while the blood flowed and the sweat and it stung his eyes, while he there enduring the pain that never a man had felt, when he hung there hurting, he also hung there healing. He could have healed himself. He could have healed himself. But he chose to heal you and I. Could have helped himself out of this situation, but he'd rather help us in our situations. He could have pulled himself free from the nails. He could have gotten down from the cross and walked away and said, "No, I can't do this." But he remained. And because he remained, because he stayed upon the cross, because he showed such restraint, because he did not remove himself that day, because he chose to hurt, you and I can be healed. See, the Bible lets us know that they walked by wagging their heads. They reviled him, the Bible says. They acknowledge his seemingly absurd and egregious claims. Oh, he said he could destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days. They didn't understand what he was talking about. They understood not that he was not speaking of the structure. He was not speaking of the building. He was speaking of his body. He said, "Destroy this temple and 3 days I will rebuild it." And they looked upon him as a fake and as a fraud. They looked upon him hanging there and said, "This man who asserted that he could destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, he can't even pull himself down from the cross. He hangs suspended between heaven and earth by nails in his hands and in his feet. He said he could rebuild the temple." Made all sorts of claims like he had come to save his people, but he hangs here about to die. He made all these claims that he would restore the kingdom, but yet he hangs here between heaven and earth. He made all these claims, and in their mind they couldn't see, they couldn't understand, because had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Had they understood really what he was saying, they would have never pounded the nails, and they would have never pressed the thorns. If they really would have understood what he was saying. They didn't. They didn't understand. They didn't know. And in their mind and in their logical thinking, they were saying within themselves, "He's a fake. He's a fraud." The Bible says they went by wagging their head in their own heart and in their mind. Maybe some of them before that time thought he would be their Savior. Maybe some of them before looking at him upon the tree, maybe some of them believed in him. But the Bible says they reviled him. They looked upon him with disdain and disgust. Hung there in utter shame. Blood, sweat, soaking his body. Disconfigured by the beating and the mocking. Face swollen. Eyes probably barely open. And the Bible says they wagged their heads. They looked at him and said, "Oh, you that made all these claims, you that made all these assertions that you would save us, that you would take us You that called yourself our father. You, the one who told us that before Abraham was, you are. You hang here. We shake our heads at you. We wag our heads. We revile you. If you truly are who you say you are, then do something as simple as save yourself. Do what comes to every human being by sheer nature. Do what anyone would do if they had the power. Stop it! Save yourself! But you can't even do that. You can't even pull your hands free from the nails. You can't even find your feet strong enough to pull from the spikes therein. Come on! Save yourself! Come down from the cross. If you are the Son of God, if you are who you say you are, surely nails will not hold you. Surely, if you are who you say you are, the spikes do not hold you. If you are who you say you are, save yourself and come down from the cross. But we need to understand, it was not the nails that held him. It was not the spike in his feet that held him. It was his love for you and I. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The nails didn't hold him, but you and I did. You and I in our transgressions and his willingness to blot out our transgressions. That's what held him to the cross. Oh, come on, Jesus, save yourselves. Can I make this parallel? Can I? And please understand, I do not say that we are in any sense of the word that we experience everything he has experienced. We couldn't. We don't have the wherewithal. But can I make this obvious parallel? There are those who view our lives. There are those who view us family members, associates, those friends, those acquaintances. And they say, wow, you make some absolutely absurd claims that you're going to live for God, that you're going to follow the principles and precepts of the Word of God. Why would you do that? It's archaic. It's old. It doesn't make sense in our modern society. Why would you do that? That's absurd that you would think that you could live according to that. That's egregious that you would make claims that you would be able to follow this Word. That you would be able to, by doing what you do and having good works, that there would be a resurrection for you under everlasting life. And to many in this day and age, that seems absurd. Common thought is, what are you doing? Why are you not living for yourself? Why do you not save yourself the trouble? Why do you not save yourself the persecution? Why do you not save yourself looking into the Word of God and trying to pattern your life after that? That seems so absurd. It seems so egregious to continue in that type of lifestyle. Why do so? Come on, Christian. Come on, disciple of Christ. Come on, follower of Jesus. Save yourself. What you really believe in an everlasting life? You really believe that what you do in this life matters? What if it doesn't? What if when you die that's just the end and then you've lived this life and then you've decided to follow the principles and precepts of a book? Come on. Save yourself. Come on, Christian. Come down from that cross. You don't need the persecution. You don't need the ridicule. You don't need family members to mock you. You don't need friends and acquaintances to wag their head and shake their head when you tell them, no, I don't do that. I don't go there. I'm not that type of person. I don't say those things. And they wag their head and they revile you. And it's because they don't understand. They don't understand that you do what you do because it's a choice. You do what you do because you willingly submit yourself. You willingly say, listen, I believe that there's something better on the other side. I believe that what I'm doing and what I'm submitting to now is going to be worth it in the end. And so you can walk by and wag your head if you want to. You can say that my assertions are absurd. You can say that me following after the word of God is silly. But you need to understand, I won't come down from this cross. I won't save myself. I won't pull myself free from the persecution. Because if I suffer with him, I will also reign with him. See, the Bible says, not only did the common folks say it, not only did those that walk by wag their head and say such things, but now the Bible says the chief priest, the religious leaders of that day, the scribes and the elders of Israel, those renowned in their religion, those who were supposedly righteous and walking according to the tenets of the Word of God, those who were supposedly to be those leading the people, the Bible says they looked upon Jesus and they said the same thing. Save yourself and come down from the cross. They make this absolutely astonishing claim. They say, this, the chief priest and the elders and the scribes, the leaders of Israel, they make this claim. They say, if you'll just come down from the cross, then we will believe you. Really? You didn't believe him when he touched the briar coming out of the city of Nain. You didn't believe him when he spoke into the tomb and said, Lazarus, come forth. You didn't believe him when the man with the withered hand in the synagogue, and he said, stretch forth thy hand, and he did, and it became whole. You didn't believe him when they let the man down through the roof, and he said, thy sins be forgiven thee, take up thy bed and walk. You didn't believe him then. You didn't believe him when he took clay and spittle and wiped it upon the man's eyes and asked him if he saw. You didn't believe him when he had took someone who was lame from birth and said, walk. You didn't believe him when he took the man who was born blind and restored his sight. You didn't believe him then. Now you make this absolutely absurd claim. You say that if he would just pull himself down from the cross, you would believe him? Oh. As a man, considering, contemplating what they said, folks, it's the leaders of Israel, God's chosen people, and they're saying, Jesus, if you'll just come down from the cross, we'll believe you. If you'll just save yourself and come down from the cross, we'll believe you. If you'll just compromise, we'll consider what you're saying. Can I make this parallel saint of God? Can I make this parallel Christian who's endeavoring to live a life in this world that is growing so far away from God? Can I make this claim? Can I say this unto you? They may say, if you'll just compromise, if you'll just come down from your cross a little bit, then we'll believe you. They didn't believe you when God raised you up and brought you out of the miry clay. They didn't believe you when God turned your life around. They didn't believe you when you stopped going there and doing those things. They didn't believe you when God healed your body. They didn't believe you when God restored your marriage. They didn't believe you when God worked as only God can do. They ain't gonna believe you if you come down from the cross. They're not going to believe you if you decide to compromise and say, I don't have these convictions anymore. I don't want to live this way anymore. If you think that's going to compel them to come, no. You need to understand. Don't come down from the cross. Stay on the cross. Stay there. Don't come down from the cross. It only makes sense in our mind, though. Save yourself. Take the path of least resistance. Come on. Come on down from the cross. You need to understand the only hope for you and I was that He remained. The only hope for you and I is that He didn't come down. The only hope for you and I. You need to understand the only hope for your family member, the only hope for your acquaintance, the only hope for your friend. It's not that you would come down from the cross. It's not that you would decide to have less persecution in your life. It's not that you would decide an easier route in an easier way. You need to understand the only hope for them is that you don't come down from the cross, is that you remain there, that you take the persecution, that you take the ridicule, and you remain. May don't come down from the cross. Don't come down from the cross. See, if He would have come down from the cross, He could not have uttered these words with truth. He could not have lifted His eyes towards heaven and opened His mouth. And at the time they blew the trumpet, calling the end of sacrifice, He wouldn't have been on the cross. And He couldn't have said, "It is finished." And the Bible says, when He had thus spoken, He gave up the ghost. Listen, to be like Jesus, to be like Him, on earth, I long just to be like Him. All through life's story, from earth to glory, I only ask just to be like Him. You see, the only time I want to come down from the cross is when they carry my lifeless body to be buried. The only time I want to come down from the cross is when it said, "It is finished. I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I've finished my course. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness which the Lord shall give on that day. But not to me only, but to all those." Listen, you need to understand. The only way I want to come down from the cross is when this life leaves my body. That's the only way I want to come down from the cross. Because if I choose to remain, if I decide for myself and my own choice, I'm not coming down from the cross. Then guess what? There's already a decision that's been made for me. If I'll make that decision to remain on the cross, if I'll make the decision that I'm not coming down from the cross, then guess what? There's another decision that's already been made, and it's by my Father in heaven, and His decision will be, "Well, then come on up." Because when they carried His lifeless body and they put it in the tomb, those that were wagging their heads and saying, "Oh, thou that destroyest the temple and rebuild it again in 3 days," they didn't understand. The building project was just about done. Catch this. Understand, Jesus said, "Destroy this temple and 3 days I will rebuild it." He allowed them to destroy the temple. He allowed it. He said, "I'm going to rebuild it myself. You can destroy it. You can dismantle it. You can take it apart." Hey, folks, can I make this parallel? You can mock me. You can ridicule you. You can take my life apart if you want to. You can point out all the mistakes, and you can try in your best attempt to destroy my integrity, my character. You can try everything. But there's one who speaks in my defense, and His opinion matters much more than yours does. And so if I'll just remain on the cross, if I won't come down from the cross, guess what? There's one who's going to argue in my defense. There's one who the Bible says is my advocate. He'll argue for me and he'll say, yeah, when they tried to compel him to come down, when they tried to get him to compromise, he chose to remain. When they tried to get him to relieve the persecution and the pressure, he remained on the cross. Here's one that didn't come down from the cross. He suffered with me. He's going to reign with me. I'm closing. You can stand to your feet. I realize some pressure might be released. I understand the pain might subside and go away. I know coming down from the cross could make things better in a natural sense. I get that. I'm a realist. I know coming down from the cross could ease some tension. I know coming down from the cross may help in some sense of the word and a relationship or two. I get that. Really, there's only one relationship that matters. Here's the thing we need to understand. He could have saved himself, but he didn't. You and I cannot save ourselves. Oh, we may save ourselves some trouble. We may save ourselves a little persecution. We may save ourselves a little pressure, but eternally, we can't save ourselves. The only way I'm truly saved is if I deny myself, take up my cross, and follow Him. He's the only one that truly saves. He's the only one that has the power to save. So, if you want to align your life with those who choose to come down, if you want to align your life with those who choose to alleviate the pressure, if you want to have less tension and persecution in life, well, that's your choice. You can come down from the cross. I know that's the only way I'm going to make heaven my home. It's not just about myself. It's about others. Because while I choose to remain upon the cross, I shine forth as an emblem, as an example, as one who chooses to suffer with Him. That's why you got to be careful of all this easy believism. This, you just do whatever you want to do and live however you want to live. God's grace paid it all. Careful. That's a come down from the cross mentality. That's a come on down and we'll believe you. Make this gospel palatable. Make it something I can easily swallow. Make it something that appeals to my carnality. Make it something that makes my flesh find freedom and liberty. Come on, preacher. Talk to me. Don't preach to me about suffering. Don't preach to me about being the object of ridicule, being reviled and persecuted. No thanks. I'll just come down from the cross. I just walk to the sacred desk on this Sunday morning to appeal to someone in the spirit. They've been walking by your life and ridiculing you and mocking you and wagging their heads, reminding you of the absurd claims that you have made concerning your dedication, your commitment. They scoffed, they sneered, really. Why would you want to live like that? That's not really living at all. Listen, I've said it before, I'll say it again. My best life is not now. My best life is the everlasting one.
Yes, yes. Amen.
Come on down from the cross. Come on, make it easier on yourself. Remove yourself from the persecution. Come on. Come on. Come down from the cross. Yet I rise on this Sunday morning to say, please, don't come down from the cross. It's not finished yet. Oh, he finished his work, but there's still work for you to do. I know salvation doesn't come by works. I get that. He's already made salvation possible. He's already made the way. But the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. You see, it takes faith to stay fastened to the cross. It takes faith to stay fastened to the cross. Anybody can doubt and detract and decide to come down, but it takes those with faith to stay fastened to the cross. Don't come down from the cross. Huh. The power of the Holy Ghost is in this place. I would that you would respond right now. I would that you would realize that you're here at a crossroad. You're here. There's an opportunity for you to come down. There's an opportunity for you. And I know family members and loved ones have been prying at you saying, hey, come on down from the cross. Come on down from the cross. Save yourself. We will believe you. Come on down. I'm simply saying, don't come down from the cross.
Lord, you searched me.
Do you have the faith to stay fast to the cross? If I decide to alleviate some of this suffering, if I decide to compromise a little bit, don't drink the vinegar mixed with gall. Don't try to deaden the pain. Don't try.
Thank you.
I read to you a passage of Scripture found in Galatians 2:20. Apostle Paul writing to the church, Galatia, he says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Can I summarize a little? Can maybe I say it another way without changing any of the meaning? Apostle Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, and the life I live now is because he gave himself for me. And so now I give myself for him. I'm crucified with him. Apostle Paul said, listen, I'm not coming down from the cross. I'm not removing myself from the ridicule. I'm not making it easier on me. I'm crucified with Christ. Don't come down from the cross. Huh. Jesus. Oh, Jesus, we love you.
Yes.
Huh. How wonderful your word is. How beautiful the example. He said before us, help me, God, as I endeavor to live my life, God, by the faith that is in you, God, recognizing that you gave yourself for me. You had the power to save yourself, yet you chose to save me. You had the power, God. You said, I lay down this life, I can take it up again. You willingly remained on the cross. Help me, God, to follow your example. Help me to make the choice. God, it's not an easy choice. It's rather difficult at times to remain where the persecution is, to remain where I'm tried. Help me live by faith, God. And give myself for you. Until life leaves this mortal body. And you have the final word. I don't ever want to come down from the cross. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. One more time, can you lift your hands and lift your voice? Just encouraging somebody, stay. Don't come down from the cross. He's trying to uplift you. I'm trying to give you confidence and faith, believing it's going to be worth it. Don't come down from the cross. God bless you for being in service this morning. Have opportunity to join back with us at 6:30, prayer beginning at 6. We welcome you to do so. May go in Jesus' name.